Well, as we begin our service time, I'd like to begin by heading over to Psalm 113. Psalm 113, and of course, there's a message guide down below that you're welcome to follow along with if you'd like. It has all of the passages that we'll be considering tonight. But in Psalm 113, verses 1 through 3, we read these words about the name of the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. We see here that the Lord's name is to be blessed. It is to be praised. This means that his name and names that he has chosen to reveal himself through are to be honored as he is honored, to be glorified as he is to be glorified, and even to be spoken well of and used well as he is to be spoken well of. And yet, I want us to think tonight about how God is treated by the majority of this world today. And not just God in his nature, but God in and through his names. All you need to do is turn on the television or watch a movie, and neither God nor his names are blessed or praised. Instead, his name is frequently taken in vain in all of its forms. How many times do we hear the name of God being used as a common, ordinary swear word? Even though it adds nothing to the plot of the story or even to the movement of it. Vain and profane references to God and his name abound. And yet many, if they even think about it, will ask, well, what's the big deal? After all, everyone does it. Everyone takes God's name in vain. It's something so common in the mouths of men that you just can't escape it. You just can't get away from it. Even in some offices, you might find a swear jar where if someone curses or uses the names of God in vain, they just have to put a dollar or two in, and yet they're still laughing and making light of it the whole time. They think, perhaps you even think, it's really no big deal. Well, as we will see tonight, it is a big deal to the one whose name and names are being used and abused in those ways. Because in the third commandment that we come to and that we will find in Exodus chapter 20, so head back there with me, Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, God himself says this about his name. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. That's the third commandment. Now we will be looking at this commandment the same way we've looked at the first two commandments through the lens of 2 Timothy 3:16, which tells us, again, that all of God's words and all of God's laws are still profitable for us. They are profitable for doctrine. They are profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Even though they were recorded for us thousands of years ago, they're still profitable. And so to begin our look at this third commandment, I want for us to consider tonight its reproof. Its reproof. That is, what it tells us about ourselves. What it tells us about our own sin. You see, you and I may not make up or worship many idols or images today, like was addressed in the first two commandments. Because after all, we've become a bit more sophisticated in our idolatry. But when it comes to taking the Lord's name in vain, we are not sophisticated at all. We are just as crass as ever. So tonight we're going to look at the many ways in which this commandment is broken. Perhaps some of these ways will even apply to you and to me. And if so, let this law reprove you. Let this law show the sin in your own heart. And let it prod you back to the Lord so that you can receive His forgiveness and His enabling power, His ability to bless His name and praise His name instead of cursing it like the rest of the world does so often, so frequently. So first, you can take the name of the Lord in vain in public ways. That is, in the hearing of others. And this is really perhaps what we first think of when we think about this commandment. It's what happens when you use any of God's names in a profane way. In a profane way. When you use God's name as just another ordinary curse word or expletive. Something to say that when you're angry about something or when something doesn't go your way or when you hit your thumb with a hammer and it just comes out. And even though this is something that is very common in society today, you can't escape it on TV or on the street, it's still a very serious sin and offense toward God. In fact, in Leviticus chapter 24, just a few pages from where we are, we find the story of a young man in the camp of Israel who was part Egyptian, part Israelite, who used God's personal name in this way, in a profane way. In fact, why don't we go to Leviticus 24, and I'd like to read verses 10 through 16, so a lengthier passage, just to see how serious this sin is. Leviticus 24:10, "And the son of an Israelitish woman, whose father was an Egyptian, went out among the children of Israel. And this son of the Israelitish woman and a man of Israel strove together in the camp. And the Israelitish woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed. And they brought him unto Moses. And his mother's name was Shelomith, the daughter of Dibri of the tribe of Dan. And they put him in ward." They put him in prison for swearing, for using the Lord's name in vain, for blaspheming his name. We have overcrowding problems in prisons today. Imagine if that were the case here. "So they put him in ward," it says, "so that the mind of the Lord might be showed them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Bring forth him that hath cursed without the camp, and let all that heard him lay their hands upon his head, and let all the congregation stone him. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, Whosoever curseth his God shall bear his sin. And he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall be surely put to death. And all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well as the stranger, as he that is born in the land, when he blasphemeth the name of the Lord, shall be put to death." In that Jewish society and under that divine economy, to use the name of the Lord in vain, who was their king, in a profane way, was a capital offense. It was a stoning offense. And it shows that it was then, and it even still is now, that serious of a sin. And when you think about it, does anyone profane the names of the gods of other religions? Such as the God of the Muslims, Allah, or the gods of the Hindus? You know, if someone does, don't the followers of those gods just rise up and they just don't stand for it? But how many of those who consider the God of the Bible as the God, or even as their God, not only tolerate it, or maybe even joke about it as another dollar goes into that swear jar, or even do so themselves? Even with such commonplace phrases like, "Oh my God," or "Oh Lordy." All of these things, we consider them sometimes just to be slips of the tongue, but in reality, it's because we are not guarding our thoughts about God Himself. Because how you treat the name of the Lord will reveal what you think about the nature of the Lord. I'd like to say that again because I think it's important for us to realize what this kind of sin is all about. How you treat the name of the Lord will reveal what you think about the nature of the Lord. And the Lord says, Exodus 27, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Not in a profane way, but also, second, not in a perjurious way. There's your word for the day, perjurious. That is, in a way that will perjure yourself. There are times when it may be appropriate to publicly call upon the name of God to be a witness to something that is true, with an oath. Sometimes you will find this in the Bible. And sometimes we'll even do this ourselves. If you were ever called into a court to become a witness and you had to put your left hand in your Bible and raise your right hand, and you're called upon to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and then you would add, so help me God. Sometimes that's appropriate. But when a person calls on God to be a witness to something they know is not true, not only do they perjure themselves, but they have taken the name of the Lord in vain. They didn't mean what they said, so help me God. In Leviticus 19:12, the third commandment is given even more clarity when it says, and ye shall not swear by my name falsely, in a perjurious way, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. No man is permitted to take the name of the Lord in vain. Not in a profane way, not in a perjurious way, and third, not even in a presumptuous way. A presumptuous way. You know, there are other oaths that are made while invoking the name of God as well. For example, in politics, after making a pledge to support and defend the Constitution of the United States, politicians from the president all the way down who follow the example of our first president, George Washington, who I think actually meant it, will often add those words, so help me God. And this is nothing less than a solemn call for the grace and the help of God to perform their duty as a politician. And yet, how many of those same politicians that have used those same words promote things that are clearly contrary to the will of God, like abortion, or like homosexuality, or homosexual marriage? They are taking the name of the Lord in vain. But what about something a little closer to home, like in marriage, where in many traditional marriage vows, which, again, people don't even do too much anymore, but in the traditional marriage vows, both the bride and the groom say that they will commit themselves to each other in the name of God. And yet, when the times are worse instead of better, or the times are poorer instead of richer, or the times become more in sickness than in health, what do? They often break their vows to each other, as well as their covenant before the Lord, and they haven't even considered that they took the Lord's name in vain. You see, the third commandment is still there to reprove us of this kind of sin because, again, the Lord says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Not in a profane way, not in a perjurious way, not in a presumptuous way, but also, not, number four, in a popular way. A popular way, that is, a way that everyone else is using God's name. You know, even today, millions and billions of dollars are exchanged between individuals with this motto emblazoned on each bill. In God, we trust. Yet, how many who use that money would subscribe to that motto? Let alone the government. The United States government that prints every single one of those bills. In fact, every single day, get this, about $541 million worth of currency, million, each day is printed. And on each bill, by law, it displays that motto, in God we trust. Yet do we as a nation really believe it? Do we as a nation really follow it? Do we as a nation really live according to that motto? And the answer is clearly no. "In God we trust" is used over and over and over again with little or no regard for the name of God which is displayed on each bill. Would it not perhaps be even better for our country to not have a motto that takes the Lord's name in vain printed on our dollar bills? By the nation that prints it out, and even by the people that disregard it completely? After all, what else does the third commandment tell us? If you go to the next part of Exodus 20, verse 7, it says, "For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." The world gives it a pass. They think it's really not a big deal. God says it is a big deal, and "I will not hold anyone guiltless for taking my name in vain." So how guilty does this make us as a people and as a nation? But are we better off in our own state? You know, when the state of Indiana, along with other states, offered the same motto on a license plate, I was one of the first to get our plates changed. After all, what better way to show that you're a Christian than to have "In God We Trust" printed on your license plate, right? But can't we say the same thing about our license plates as we do about our dollar bills? Is there more trust in God on our cars than in our hearts? If so, we are taking the Lord's name in vain every time we go out for a drive. Now, when we are confronted and when we are reproved by these very public ways of taking God's name in vain, some might think, "I don't do these things. I never do these things." Well, that's good. Praise God for that. But there are other more private and even more personal ways to take God's name in vain as well. Even what we can call in pious ways. In a pious way. Piety simply means acts of devotion to God. But we often use it in a negative way, like when you do what is right, but you do it with the wrong heart for the wrong reasons. Paul tells Timothy that it's when you have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. So yes, you can take the Lord's name in vain, even if and when you're doing things that are pious and religious in your life. Like our prayers. Our prayers. As Thomas Watson once wrote, "When we pray to him, but do not believe in him, we take the Lord's name in vain." I'm praying. I'm doing a right thing. I'm doing a good thing. But if you don't believe the one you're praying to, you're taking his name in vain. After all, don't we begin our prayers with the name of God the Father? We pray, "Dear Heavenly Father," or even as Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And then after we give our prayer at the very end, we pray again in the name of the Son, God the Son, and pray, "In Jesus' name, amen." Appropriately so. But if we use those names lightly, or we pray in those names without faith and without trust in the God who reveals himself in those names, we have taken his name in vain. Or what about our own profession? Our own personal profession. In 2 Timothy 2:19, Paul writes, "Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." As Christians, we love and worship our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we want the whole world to see and to know him, and that we are followers of him. We don't want to be ashamed of him. So we try to make our personal profession as public as possible. Sometimes we even use symbols like the fish that represents the names of Christ, all of the names of Christ and the titles, or even the cross. And we take the name of Christ upon us gladly. We are Christians. But do we do the other part of that verse? Let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Again, Thomas Watson writes, "When we profess God's name, but do not live according to it or answerably to it, we take it in vain. There may be many other ways in which you and I may take the name or names of the Lord in vain. But instead of just putting another dollar in the swear jar each time we do, we need to see it for what it really is. Taking the Lord's name in vain is a serious offense toward God, the God who has revealed himself and his nature in and through these names. And we'll consider a little bit more of that next Sunday night. But we also need to recognize again that how you treat the names of God reveals what you think about the nature of God. Because as Jesus said in Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. These are not just slips of the tongue. They come out because they are within. So the problem is not just with the habits of our mouths. The problem goes much deeper than that. The problem is with our hearts, and we need our hearts clean before our mouths can ever be truly clean. I remember a couple of times when I was a boy, I had my mouth washed out with soap, but it didn't do anything to the heart. So tonight, let this commandment reprove you. Not just how you treat the name of the Lord, but even how you think about Him. And if you consider how you have used God's name in vain, what should you do tonight? Repent. Repent, because taking the Lord's name in vain is a serious matter. It's part of that dungeon of depravity that we looked at even this morning. But then, after you repent, let that sin drive you to your Savior, to Jesus, who alone can cleanse your heart. As we close, I want to look at one passage in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 6, because this is what the Lord does to the prophet Isaiah, doesn't he? In Isaiah chapter 6, beginning in verse 5, when, of course, he's confronted with the glory of God in the throne room of heaven, he says, "Woe is me, Isaiah! Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." How many of those lips profane the name of the Lord, or blaspheme his name, or took his name in vain, or lived their lives in vain? How many times did that happen? He repented, not just for his own, but for his people's sin. And what did the Lord do for him? "Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, 'Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged.'" What happened to Isaiah can happen to you. What happened to his mouth and his lips can happen to your mouth and your lips. The altar of the cross of Christ is powerful enough to cleanse you from how you treat the name of the Lord, as well as from what you think about the nature of the Lord. And then, having been cleansed and forgiven, remember to keep the name of the Lord in reverence and godly fear. Go and sin no more, and even more, as we began from Psalm 113, "Blessed be the name of the Lord, from this time forth and forevermore, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name." It's not to be taken in vain. The Lord's name is to be praised. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you again for the privilege that we've had to consider your word, not just tonight, but throughout the day. And Father, I pray that you'll help us to recognize just how precious you are and how precious your name is. These names, many of them, are what you have chosen to reveal yourself to us through. There are other names and titles that people have given to you that describe your nature and your attributes that they saw. But all of these names, all of these titles, all of these descriptions are things, Lord, that we ought to hold into our hearts as precious things. And so, Father, I pray that you'll forgive us if we have taken your name or your names in vain. whether publicly or privately, whether in a profane way or even in our prayers or professions of faith. Oh, Father, I thank you that it's the Lord Jesus who can still cleanse us even from those sins. And now, Father, I pray that you'll help us, if we are forgiven of this sin, by coming to the altar of Christ, that, Lord, we will go and sin no more, that we will revere your names, that, Lord, we will hold them close to us, recognizing how much we can learn from those names, and then, Father, to live according to your name, that we will bless your name, that we will praise your name from this time forth, even forevermore. For it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.